He looked around the table, to be met only with flat stares or indifferent shrugs.
That's business.
That's injustice. And I have sworn an oath on my blood and on my honor to put an end to it, which means putting an end to you and your cozy little setup.
I don't think so. Guards, take him!
Doors flew open on every side, and a small army of guards came crashing in, armed with swords and axes and even a few disruptors. Owens have vocalized the word, boost. And a familiar strength flooded through him. He felt almost supernaturally awake and aware, as though up till now he'd spent his life sleeping. He felt he could do anything, take any risk, and never pay the cost. Owen clamped down hard on that. It was the boost talking, not him. He was boosting too much and too often these days, despite the dangers, and he knew it. But he trusted to the maze's changes to protect him from what would otherwise be crippling side effects. He had to. There was work to be done. The blood pounded in his head and in his sword arm, calling him on to battle, and he gave in to it with a smile that could just as easily have been a snarl. The guard seemed almost to be moving in slow motion as he threw himself into the midst of them, knowing the few with disruptors wouldn't dare use them rashly for fear of hitting their own people. His sword flashed brightly as he swung it with inhuman strength and speed, and blood flew on the air. Owen's unstoppable blade worked butchery on their bodies. The six most powerful men in Mistport retreated from the table and huddled together in one corner of the room, watching with disbelief as one man laid waste to their private army. Then, quite suddenly, it was over, and Owen Deathstalker stood among the dead and the dying, a death's head grin on his face. He looked slowly around him, blood dripping thickly from his blade. His clothes were splashed and soaked with gore, and none of it was his. He wasn't even breathing hard. He turned his smile on the six movers and shakers of Mistport, and they cringed before him. Owen dropped out of boost, but the expected tiredness didn't hit him. He still felt like he could take on the whole city if he had to. Chance came crawling out from under the burning table where he'd taken shelter. Owen put out a hand to help him up, and Chance flinched away. He scrambled to his feet, looking at Owen with new eyes.
They never stood a chance. You cut them down like cattle. What in God's name are you?
I'm a Deathstalker, and don't you forget it. Owen turned his gaze on the six men huddled together in the far corner of the room. Only a few even tried to meet his gaze. Owen moved unhurriedly toward them, stepping casually over the unmoving bodies. His boots squelched quietly in the blood-soaked carpet. Stacy, the lawyer, glared at Owen with something like defiance.
You're a monster, but you still can't beat us. We have the money. We can hire more men. We can hire a whole army of mercenaries if that's what it takes to bring you down.
Bring on your army. Let them all come. They won't save you.
You can't kill us. If we die, all our money will be tied up in probate, maybe for years. No one would be able to touch it.
Nothing's going to stop me. Not you, not the law, not the whole damned empire. Your day is over, and I'm bringing down the night.
You're crazy, just like your father was.
My father was worth 100 of you.
Owen put away his sword. He was too angry. He wanted to do this with his bare hands. Boosted strength roared within him again, and something else as well. He grabbed the long heavy table, ignoring the flames, lifted it off the floor, and tore it in two. He let the jagged halves fall to the floor, and advanced on the six secret masters of Mistport. They ran screaming for the door, Chance right behind them. They ran through the outer chamber, yelling for help, and Owen came right behind them. He was more than human now, an almost elemental force on a rampage. His anger stormed through the rooms and corridors, smashing everything in its path. Walls cracked and collapsed, the bricks crumbling and the mortar exploding into dust. Great vents appeared in the floor and ceilings. Wood burst into flames, burning with a harsh, unnatural light. People ran screaming as ceilings collapsed, showering them with falling masonry. The carpeted floors undulated like waves on an ocean, before rising up and splitting apart like a never-ending earthquake. And behind them all came Owen Deathstalker, silent and remorseless, bringing down the great guild hall as he would one day bring down the empire it represented. A few brave guards tried to stop him and were swept aside. Doors were blown off their hinges and exploded out of doorways. Windows shattered, the jagged glass flying like shrapnel. Scattered papers flew in the air like frightened birds. Walls bulged apart and ruptured water pipes sprayed everywhere. Exposed electrical wires sparked and crackled. The whole building seemed to be roaring in pain as it slowly collapsed in upon itself. Owen Deathstalker walked on through the screams and the chaos. One brave soul fired a disruptor at him, but the energy beam bounced harmlessly away. Nothing could touch or stop him now. He finally came to the last door, the door through which he had originally entered the guild hall. The door exploded from its frame, flying out into the street before the crowds had come to see what was happening. They were babbling and shouting as the hall collapsed. But when Owen stepped out into the street, they fell suddenly silent and backed away. They could feel the power in and around him, beating on the air like a giant heartbeat. Owen let his mind drift back through what was left of the building, making sure no one was trapped inside. And then he brought it all down in one giant upheaval. The roar of crashing masonry filled the street, and smoke billowed out of the empty doorways and window frames. In only moments, what had been one of the greatest guild halls in Mistport was reduced to nothing but a pile of rubble. Silence slowly fell, broken only by the muffled sounds of debris settling. The buildings on either side stood completely unaffected. And the one man responsible for it all looked upon what his anger had done and found it good. He slowly brought his power back inside him and shut it down, and was just a man again. That was when the watch turned up, all 10 of them. They stopped some distance away and studied the scene carefully. Owen smiled at them.
Private business. Hostile takeover. Nothing for you to worry about, gentlemen.
The watch looked at him, then at what was left of the building, and finally at each other, before deciding firmly to go and watch somewhere else. The 6 men who used to run Mistport called plaintively after the watch as they left, but they were ignored. The watch didn't interfere in private quarrels. This was Mistport, after all. The 6 men turned slowly to look at Owen, who stood before them, smiling unpleasantly.
You poor bastards wouldn't last 5 minutes on Golgotha. They'd eat you alive and still have room for dessert. Now, do as you're told, and you might get out of this alive and still attached to most of your major organs. Kneel down.
They did so. They had no fight left in them.
You've got a new boss, gentlemen. A Deathstalker is back in charge. From this moment on, you are going to dig into your no-doubt cavernous pockets and rebuild the information network as my father originally envisaged it. A means of collecting and compiling information to protect and serve the people of Mistworld, and keep it safe from outside attack and influences. You will also pay for the conceiving and setting up of new defenses to protect this planet. With a psionic screen weakened by the Esper Plague, you're going to need a strong high-tech system to back it up. Get on it. Finally, my father's money was always intended to make possible a fairer and easier life for the people of this city. I expect a series of wide-ranging but practical schemes from all of you in writing within the week. If anybody is late, I'll have him nailed to a wall to motivate the others, and I am not being metaphorical.
But we have shareholders. People we have to answer to. They'd never let us do all that.
Send them to me. I'll convince them. Anybody else have something to say? No? Good. You're learning. Now, you six assholes are going to obey my instructions to the letter, or I'll turn you inside out. Slowly. Is that perfectly clear? They all nodded vigorously, and Owen turned his back on them and strode off down the street. He could still feel the power the maze had given him, wrapped around him like a comforting cloak. The maze had changed him in ways he didn't understand yet, but the power was real, and it was his, and he reveled in it. He felt like he could do anything if he just put his mind to it. And it felt so good to be able to put things right in such a simple and direct manner.
You do realize that you're walking in the wrong direction if you want to head back to the center of town?
Shut up, Oz. I'm making a dramatic exit. Owen decided he would go to the rooms they had booked and see how Hazel and John Silver were getting on. He couldn't wait to see the security man's face when he told him what he'd done to the guild hall. Who knew? It might even impress Hazel, just a little. He was worried about her. Despite the new power within him, he still couldn't feel her presence through their mental link. Besides, he wanted to talk to Hazel about this new power and what it felt like. Maybe she had it, too. They had so much to discuss. Owen Deathstalker strode on through the streets of Mistport, and the mists themselves curled back to get out of his way. Hazel Dark and John Silver, old rogues and older friends, sat in their comfortable chairs on either side of the open fire, sipping hot chocolate from lumpy porcelain mugs and staring at the small vial of black blood standing on the table beside them. It didn't look like much, but then the really dangerous things never do. They both knew what it could do, both to and for them, and it was a sign of their strength of will that they hesitated. Blood came from the Wampir, the synthetic plasma of the adjusted men. Just a few drops could make a normal human strong and fast and confident. For as long as you kept taking it, blood could make you feel wonderfully alive and aware, as though the normal world was just a grim and gray, depressing nightmare from which you had finally awakened. Of course, the effect never lasted, and gradually you needed larger and larger doses to achieve the same effects. And slowly, drop by drop, the blood burned you up from within. It had been designed to bring Wampir back from the dead and make them superhuman. It had never been meant to coexist with the merely human stem. But people wanted it, needed it, would fight and kill for it, so there were always those ready to synthesize and market it for the right price, especially on a planet like Mistworld.
"It's really very simple," said Silver. "As head of Starport Security, I have access to all the blood confiscated on the streets. And as I control all the computer records, no one's going to notice if I liberate a few drops now and then for myself and a few special friends. You can't try and run a hellhole like Mistport without some crutch or other to lean on. And we don't all have it in us to be incorruptible heroes like Investigator Topaz. I'm not an addict. I can control it. I'm not so sure about you, Hazel. You always were the greedy kind."
Hazel stared down into her mug, not looking at him.
"So much has happened in such a short time. One minute I'm just a small-time outlaw of no importance to anyone but myself, and the next I'm a rebel, and everyone's after my head, including some of those supposedly on my side. As long as I was fighting and running for my life, I didn't have time to think. I was fine. But now, everything I do matters. Everything I say has consequences, not just for me, but for the whole damned rebellion. They've made me a bloody hero and a leader and expect me to be perfect. And that's not all. Something happened to me on the Wolfling world, John. Something changed me. I'm more than I used to be, and I'm scared all the time. I don't think I'm me anymore. I have bad dreams, and I can't tell if I'm remembering the past or the future. I can do things now that I never could before. Strange and terrible things. The blood is the only thing that helps. It stabilizes me, calms me, helps me believe I'm still human.
She put down her mug and reached out with her hand, and the glass vial of blood leaped up from the table and shot into her waiting hand. Silver looked at her, startled.
I didn't know you were an Esper, Hazel.
I'm not. I'm something else. Something more.
Hazel unscrewed the top of the vial and sniffed delicately at the black liquid inside. Her nostrils flared as the familiar scent filled her head, dark and smoky. She breathed deeply, sucking it into her lungs, and sparks flared and fluttered in her veins. She tilted the vial carefully and allowed a single drop of blood to fall onto her tongue. She swallowed quickly to avoid as much of the bitter wormwood taste as she could, and then refastened the vial's cap and put it back on the table, so as not to be tempted to take a second drop. She leaned back in her chair and groaned aloud as the familiar heat rushed through her, burning along her nerves, making her strong and powerful and confident again. The pressures and the duties and the doubts that plagued her were swept away, and for the first time in days, her face relaxed. She smiled slowly. It felt so good. So good not to have to care anymore. Silver watched her from his chair, keeping his own counsel till he was sure she was well under. He had intended to join her, but memories of what Hazel had been like in the worst throes of addiction had changed his mind. He wasn't an addict. He could control himself. So he stayed straight and sober, because he had a strong feeling that Hazel needed him to be there, watching over her. Even as he thought that, her half-shut, drowsing eyes suddenly opened, and she sprang to her feet, looking wildly about her. Silver was quickly on his feet, too, putting his mug on the table so he could take Hazel by the arms. She didn't seem to notice him, and her arms were as rigid as steel bars. Silver watched her carefully. You had to be careful with blood users when you weren't cranked yourself. With their new strength, they could kill a normal man in a moment and not give a damn till after the load had worn off. Hazel stared about, her head twisting violently from side to side, her eyes huge in her suddenly gaunt face.
Hazel, what is it? What's wrong?
It's different. I'm different. I shouldn't have taken blood here. Not with so many Espers around. I can't tell what's in my head and what's outside. The blood's awakening something within me. Something I didn't even know was there.
I can see things, John. So many things. Nothing's hidden from me anymore.
She stared at the wall before her, and suddenly it was gone. It only took Silver a moment to realize that he was seeing what she was seeing, her mind linking with his to show him what was in the next room. The young burglar named Cat was spilling brightly shining jewels onto a table from a leather pouch, while his fence, the woman called Cider, laughed and clapped her hands. Hazel turned her head away, and the wall became visible again. She glared at the opposite wall, and it disappeared to reveal a card game deteriorating into muffled shouts and accusations. She suddenly turned her stare on Silver, and in that moment he felt utterly transparent, as though she could see everything within him, good and bad and in between, all captured in a moment. She seemed bigger than Silver, towering over him like some ancient god of judgment with no trace of mercy or compassion. He fell backwards, jerking his hands as though she'd burned him. Hazel's stare turned inward, and images began to blink in and out around her. Visions came and were gone in seconds, cycling through faces and places, some of which Silver recognized. An old man wearing a janitor's uniform sat slumped on a cot.
They broke me.
Worn and broken down by life.
Go look somewhere else for your savior or leader.
Then he was gone, and Owen took his place, bleeding from a dozen wounds, sword held out to ward off an unseen enemy.
When you see the opening, run, Hazel. I'll keep them occupied.
A mob of shadows surged forward from all sides, and he disappeared beneath them, still swinging his sword. They blinked out, replaced by a grinning Ruby Journey.
I'm just in it for the loot.
Silver tried to reach out to Hazel again, but couldn't get near her. Her memories had the force of reality. Ruby was replaced by a tall, furred, and lupine figure that Silver realized with a jolt had to be a legendary wolfling. The huge figure looked right at Silver and said,
It is a sad and bitter honor to be the last of one's kind.
He disappeared, replaced by a Hayden man with glowing golden eyes. Behind him towered a vast honeycomb of gold and silver, thickly encrusted with ice. The long-lost tomb of the Hayden men. The augmented man called Tobias Moon stared at Silver and said in his buzzing, inhuman voice,
All we ever wanted was our freedom.
And then the ice melted, and strange colors came and went on the air, and the Hayden men emerged from their tomb, great and glorious and perfect beyond hope. And then there was only Owen again, staring sadly into Hazel's eyes. You can't fight evil by becoming evil. Hazel turned away from him, and Owen disappeared as she looked at Silver. Their eyes met, and new visions appeared. Silver making deals with crooks and scum to keep the peace in Mistport streets. Silver paying off legbreakers like Marcus Rhine so they wouldn't interfere with his blood distribution network. Silver looking the other way as rivals were eased out or shut down the hard way. The visions faded away, and Hazel looked at Silver with new, cold eyes.
Just a few drops now and then for you and a few special friends? Bullshit. You've been running your own distribution network for the drug all over the city. How many new plasma babies are out there now, John?
I don't know. I try not to think about it. I'm just getting by like everyone else on Mistport. Inflation's gone crazy since the Esper Plague. Money's not worth half what it was. What savings I had were wiped out. If I wasn't doing it, someone else would. You know that. I never meant to hurt anybody, but...
Yes, but. There's always a but, isn't there?
Silver stepped forward, one hand reaching out to her. She grabbed it with her own, and he winced at the harsh, unforgiving strength in her. She smiled at him coldly.
The show's not over yet, John. You've seen the past and the present. Now here comes the future,
whether we're ready or not.
Her hand clamped down hard, and Silver cried out as the room disappeared around them, and chaos took its place. People were running, screaming in the streets of Mistport. Buildings were burning. Attack sleds filled the skies above. Energy beams stabbed down through billowing clouds of black smoke. The dead lay everywhere. War machines smashed through the city walls. Burning barges floated down a river autumn, thick with blood and choked with corpses. And above it all, a never-ending scream that had nothing of humanity in it. Hazel released Silver's hand, and reality crashed back as the small, cramped room reappeared around them. Silver fell back a step, shaking and shuddering, his head still full of the stench of spilled blood and burning bodies, the hideous, unending scream still ringing in his ears. Hazel stood and looked at him, cold and unforgiving as any oracle.
That's the future, John. Your future and mine. And you helped bring it about. Something bad is coming to Mistworld. Something very bad. And it will be here soon.
And then suddenly, she was just Hazel again. Her cloak of power and majesty gone in a moment. And she sank back down into her chair by the fire again, looking small and tired and very, very vulnerable. Silver slowly moved forward and sat down in the chair facing her. Part of him wanted to run screaming from the room, but he couldn't do that. Part of him was frightened almost to panicking by the hideous thing he'd seen his old friend become, but he couldn't let her see that. She needed him, needed her old friend and comrade,
And though he had done many awful things in his time, a few of which even he was ashamed of, John Silver was damned if he'd let her down. They sat in silence for a long while, the only sound in the room the quiet crackling as logs shifted in the heat of the fire. The room seemed very cold.
What happened to you, Hazel? You never had those powers before.
Hazel smiled wearily.
What happened to you, John? What happened to the people we used to be?
Things were simpler when we were young.
Silver looked into the fire because he found it easier than looking at her.
You were a merc, and I was a pirate. Both of us convinced we were destined for greater things. We made a great team as confidence artists. We ran the Angel of Night swindle for 3 years straight, remember? Though my favorite was always the Lost Stargate con. I had great fun making up the maps. So impressive, they were practically works of art. We'd still be running those cons if we hadn't got unlucky.
And greedy.
That too.
Things were simpler then. It was us versus them, and we only took money from those who could afford to lose it. Simple, innocent days. But we changed, moved on. We're not who we used to be. Our friends and allegiances have changed, and all we have in common now are our memories and blood. And neither of them comfort me like they used to. Can we trust each other anymore, John?
We have to. No one else would.
Owen would.
Silver made himself look at her.
You know him better than I do. What's he really like, this Deathstalker?
He's a good man, though he doesn't realize it. A hero. The real thing. Brave and dedicated and too damn honest for his own good. He'll end up leading this rebellion completely before he's through. Not because he wants to, but because he's the best man for the job. He's a nice guy, but there's so much he doesn't understand. Like the pressures and responsibilities and insecurities that drive lesser people like you and me to blood or drink or dumb relationships. He's never needed a crutch to lean on in his life. He just sees the right thing and goes for it. Complaining all the while, fooling nobody. A good man in bad times.
You love him, don't you?
I never said that.
Silver knew what was needed. He made himself lean forward till their faces were only inches apart, and then he kissed her. And both of them knew it was goodbye. And that was when Owen Deathstalker entered the room and saw them together. He stopped just inside the doorway, saying nothing as Hazel and Silver broke apart and rose quickly to their feet. For a long moment, no one said anything.